everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We're so excited today. We have two of our Hallmark writers. We love talking to the writers here on the podcast. And so this is going to be really fun. We're talking to Judy and Sandy Berg, who have written some of our favorite Hallmark films. And it's going to be a delight to get to know them better. And thank you so much, ladies, for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having us. Thank you.
Yeah. So what we like to do on the podcast is we like to give our guests a chance to introduce yourself and tell us what inspired you both, in this case, to become writers.
Okay. Well, I'm Judy.
I'm Sandy, and we're sisters.
Which we, some people haven't realized, but we are sisters. And I think that how we got interested is we come from a family of movie lovers. I mean, we just spent our childhood and growing up, our parents, our whole family, we were always going to movies, watching movies on TV. And we were both writing little stories when we were in school. And then when we were in college, Sandy was in film school and I was an English major. We're actually from Los Angeles and we were at UCLA. And one summer we were home and living to, you know, back at home in between quarters, and decided to sit down and write a script together. Just something that inspired us from watching movies. And we were very fortunate that script was a spec that got us an agent. It got us a lot of work through, people liked it. It was a period piece. It was a 30s screwball comedy. Has been optioned on and off through the years, but it's for two women, so it's a difficult one to make. But it served us well as a writing sample, and from that we were doing a lot of had a lot of development deals. Our background is mostly features work, and we've done a little TV, but we did a lot of rom-coms and found our way to Hallmark.
Did you grow up watching a lot of rom-coms? Was that a favorite of yours, or?
I mean, we kind of watch everything, you know, horror, westerns, war movies, but definitely rom-coms.
They're your favorites. What were some of your favorite movies growing up?
Well, probably anything Billy Wilder did.
We love old movies. We really both, I mean, thank goodness for TCM, because we just love watching the classics, but
living in LA.
Billy Wilder is definitely one of our favorites, but it's everything from When Harry Met Sally, Seattle, Sabrina. We love Arthur,
The Apartment.
Those are some of my favorites too, like some good Preston Sturges. Some of my favorites. That's really good.
July is a gem, and you know, not just the Hallmark Christmas in July, but the movie Christmas in July.
I actually haven't seen that. I need to see it. I heard about it just recently. I haven't seen that one of his. I need to.
Sullivan's Travels, too. That's one of our all-time favorites.
Yeah, I like that one. Our Lady Eve. That one.
Oh, yeah.
Really good, I think. So, very cool. Well, I have to ask, because I have three sisters. And I can't think of anything harder than writing something with my sister. I think I love them so much, but I can't imagine that would be a very productive enterprise. Any of the three of them, us writing something together. So I am fascinated to learn about how that works. How do you each do different scenes and then you look at them, or how does it work doing it?
Well, we have another sister who is not a writer. She's a lawyer, and I don't think she wants to be a writer, and I don't think we could work with her, but we're very, very close, but all three of us. And the thing is, the bottom line is you lose the ego. I mean, you know, you have to be thick-skinned, and just you could say anything to a sister.
Well, in a sense, I think it's easier than other writing teams because of your sibling. So if one of us, like, you know, says something that maybe isn't the nicest thing in the world, it doesn't matter. You know, what are you going to go tell mom?
Right.
I think in some ways it's much easier to work with a sibling.
Interesting. Yeah.
We actually talk everything out together. We don't divide up the work. We just kind of talk, decide like what the scene's going to be. And then we just kind of, we have to like kind of picture it in our minds, see it like cinematically, and then we just start writing. Sometimes we will both get inspired and just start writing dialogue, and then we'll combine them. But we do work together in the room, and it's, for us, we've always been partners, so it's just natural for us.
So you're both literally together in the same room when you're writing for the most part.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. So you live close enough that you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. That's really cool. Have there been times, I mean, there must be times when you have real disagreements about where the story should go. How do you deal with that?
Well, we have a rule that if somebody is just adamant and says, no, I really think this is where it should be, or this is what it, where it should go, whatever, and that you're really strong and you're really arguing for it, fine. Do it, move on. Because as you probably know by this point, writing is rewriting. So eventually what you were fighting over may not even stay in the script when, in the next draft. So we've just learned, like, if somebody's that adamant, just let her have it and keep going, and then we'll worry about it later.
What kind of inspired you initially to start writing together?
I think
Sandy was in film school,
right? I was writing screenplays, and Judy was writing plays. I said, let's do this together.
Yeah, and it just worked. Clicked, huh?
Yeah, and we had fun. You know, I had Sandy was taking screenwriting classes, and I had never written a script, and she, I think you'd probably done one or two by the time we started writing together. Mm-hmm. It was just fun, and we literally spent a summer doing it.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. Yeah, because, I don't know, my sisters and I, we have just, not only are we very different, but we just have such different tastes in things, you know, like the stuff, especially the stuff that I find funny is not stuff that any of my sisters find funny. Like but I wonder if you feel like you end up kind of with the best of products because you have to find that middle ground between the two of you.
Yes. I mean, I would say for the most part, our senses of humor is the same. We do have very different interests. We have different tastes and things. So I think, frankly, I think we have the best of both worlds because you have similarities, but you have enough differences that it makes it more interesting.
Writing
is also solitary and lonely, that it's really nice to have another person in the room.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you guys kind of like in the literary word, you say plotters, then you kind of plot it all out before you start really writing?
Yes. Okay. We like to know the ending and work backwards.
Yeah.
This is Sandy now. I taught at USC Film School for several years, screenwriting. So it's just sort of after teaching for so long, I kind of do that, you know, to my own work. Uh-huh. You know, we're very methodical. We outline everything. We like structure. So after teaching it for so long, it kind of carries over into our own work.
That's.
I mean, the biggest change for us, though, when we started writing at Hallmark was we were used to a 3-act structure with feature films. And then when you start doing Hallmark movies, they're 9 acts.
Because of the commercials?
Yes.
Yeah. And how do you know, okay, this is the spot? I guess you just get used to it after a lot of time.
Used to it. But it's kind of like anything. You always want to go out on an act with a high point or an interesting point or a cliffhanger, depending on the story. Because it's always, you have to say to yourself, what's going to make the audience come back after the commercial break?
Yeah. And what do you think is the key to, in writing romantic scripts, in getting that chemistry and that kind of thing, making it work?
Well, for one thing, it's the cast, but also the romance.
Yeah, it's not just the similarities that people have, but it's the obstacles and the differences that may
make it more interesting and make it more romantic, and you want to root for these people. Like, we know that they kind of have some similarities, or you want to see them get together, but you want to make sure the audience is rooting to have them overcome the obstacles so that they can get together. And yeah. It's a matter of balancing that romance with, you know, the excitement of keeping these two together as much as possible.
Mm. Yeah. And kind of getting that enough of that witty banter in. That's always the goal.
Yeah.
and working in enough Christmas on the Christmas ones. Do you find the non-Christmas ones are easier to write than the Christmas ones, or it's about
the
same?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Much easier.
That's interesting. And you've gotten to work with Chrissy Will Wolf a couple times. How is that experience?
Well, what's the first time was Dash of Love. I mean, we've actually never met Chrissy.
Oh, really?
She came on Dash of Love right when it was going, you know, they hired her right. I think we were pretty much finished with the draft.
Yeah,
and
just going into production.
Yeah, and we maybe talked to her on the phone, made a few changes, production changes. And then we were given Harvest Love, which was her script, to rewrite. And that's kind of it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Because we love her movies. For the most part, they've been really fun. She's one of our favorites. What we usually do, I'm kind of doing it a little different. I want to start with your most recent one. Well, we'll do All Summer Long Last, but we wanted to start, I'm going to start with Majestic Christmas and then go back. But I wanted to talk about A Majestic Christmas. So was this your own, or was this a rewrite?
It was our original.
Awesome. When I first heard about this, I have to admit that I kind of groaned, because I'm like, oh, another save the theater, save the kind of joke that there's the save the farm stories.
Right.
And we just had so many of them, and they just usually don't have any stakes, because you don't believe that it's actually going to close, that it's actually going to, so it's just kind of not my favorite. And so I wasn't super excited about it in our preview show, but I actually ended up really loving it. It made my top 10 last Christmas. And I sincerely did. And I died laughing at the whole stealing out of the bell ring Santa pot thing set up. How did you think of that? That was so funny.
Well, I wanted something that was kind of organic and seasonal. Uh-huh. And that made sense.
Yeah, the meet cute. We wanted it to be Christmassy.
Right.
You know, you just want to get that season in there right in the first, you know, as fast as possible. So, and we wanted her to be the type, I mean, she's obviously the type who loves Christmas and, you know, gives gifts and gives charity. And, you know, it just sets up so much.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah. Well, it was just because if in a Hallmark movie, if you actually did steal from a bell ringing Santa, you'd be like the worst person in the world. Like, that's the worst.
Sure, of course.
We always joke that, you know, somebody's a good person in a Hallmark movie if they give to the bell ringing Santa. If they ignore it, then you're like, oh, this person is a bad person.
Right.
They need to be visited by three spirits tonight, you know, kind of a thing.
It's funny.
Yeah. And so it was really funny. I really enjoyed that. And I felt like, as opposed to a lot of these kind of stories, I felt like their conflict was like relatively reasonable, you know, like they were still working together and she was still like making it work. And he was still being a business person, you know, businessman. And I don't know, sometimes it's a lot more over the top than all that,
right?
Like an evil man of business. But I don't know. I felt like it was pretty well done. And I really liked the lead. I can't think of her name, but
Jerrica
Hinton. She did a great job.
Yes. Yes.
I really liked her.
Yeah.
And then their friend that was, that was kind of, I forget, Barry, I think his name was.
Barry. Yeah.
Like Barry.
Yeah. He was so funny. And yes. So that was really good. And my favorite, one of the highlights of Countdown to Christmas last year was their dancing scene. I loved that scene.
Dancing. Oh, we did too. That was our favorite.
Yeah.
And it was shot to the music that we wrote in there was going to be the Christmas Waltz,
uh-huh.
which is a song that's not overdone and it's beautiful. That's what they shot it to. Uh-huh. But they ended up being able to use it, which is right. Too bad.
And oh. The Christian yeah. is a choreographer, so
he choreographed that dance.
Yeah, it was so good. It was just Christmas magic. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really good. So I really enjoyed that one. I thought it was just really sweet, and it was a pleasant surprise. And then Christmas Next Door, so the year before, I also enjoyed. One thing I was curious about, though, when we were doing our preview show that year, the little summary they had in like Entertainment Weekly or whatever was totally different. Then yeah, what?
I know. Yeah, I'm glad you noticed.
Yeah. Then what ended up being? And so, what's the story behind all that? It was going to be about some dad who was like not able to connect with his kids, and I don't
right.
know. Yeah.
Exactly. The original script was about a guy who lost his. He was divorced, lost his job, had to spend Christmas with his kids, and wasn't up for it. And we were like, why would a guy not want to spend Christmas with his kids? You know, I mean, that's wrong. So we came in with a whole different take, and we pitched the idea of the uncle and that he was had this bachelor lifestyle and the girl next door. And so we – and for – I guess because we came into that and we wrote it very quickly and I think Hallmark didn't have enough time, or they were just so overwhelmed that people didn't have a chance to change the synopsis. And then somehow or other, we found out about it, and we're like, hello, this is not what our movie's about anymore. So it took them a while to the publicity people to change the synopsis. But that was the story, I guess, that they announced. And it turned out, as you know, to be completely different. So.
Yeah, because we in the preview show, we were like, why doesn't this guy like being with his children? This is so weird. What a weird Hallmark movie. And so, and then when they cast Jesse Metcalf, we were like, what? What's going on? This is so weird. And because that didn't seem like a fit. And then we watched the movie. We were like, well, that was way different than what we thought. But we ended up really enjoying it. So we interviewed Fiona, and she said that film was done in like October.
Yes.
Something like that year. So when did you write it?
August.
I think we started mid-August.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's amazing. So they came to you and said, we have this movie that needs to be, and you pitched them a whole new story.
Correct.
That's amazing. That's only a Hallmark. Would that happen?
I know. I know.
Yeah. That's really interesting. One thing I wondered about in that movie is, you know, Fiona and then Brittany Bristow plays her sister.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you pulled at all from your relationship with those two sisters.
We did, and in fact, her character's named after our other sister.
Oh, Elaine. Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. I liked the. It felt pretty natural, I think, between the two of them, and they looked enough alike.
I know. We were thrilled when they cast her because, it was nice to see people who actually look like they could be siblings.
Right. Yeah.
And they both had just adorable personalities. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we were very happy with that casting.
I really liked the ending of that movie at the when he comes into the restaurant. And that was really good. I liked that.
Oh, thanks.
That was fun. So, very good. I liked that one quite a bit. And also, the other thing I loved about that movie is that you could tell it was being filmed later, at least, because that whole caroling scene. Because I guess it must just be music rights or whatever, but they don't use caroling enough, I don't think, in Hallmark movies. You think it would be in a ton of them, but it's really not used that often. I just loved that whole caroling scene. I thought was done really, really well.
Yeah, we were happy with it. And I agree with you because it was like caroling done the right way, where people walk from house to house in the neighborhood and everybody, it starts to grow and people get involved. And to us, that's what caroling is really all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you could see their breath. There was actually liquid in their cups. So it was great. I was like, wow, they're really dedicated. This is really good. Yeah. So I thought that was really, really good. And I would encourage them to do more caroling scenes. It was fun.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then Harvest Love was the one. And my favorite part about Harvest Love was that ridiculous, but really fun cobbler montage.
Yeah.
And so I was curious if you made any cobblers.
No.
Okay,
this is Judy. I love to bake.
Okay.
And I'm not into necessarily doing cobblers, pear cobblers, but I certainly like to eat them. But I'm a baker, so we thought that would be a really fun thing to have her try to
I don't bake at all, so that was Judy's idea.
That's good. I liked it. And you must have been excited to have Ryan Pavey be the lead because he's so charming.
Oh, yeah. We've wanted to work with him for a long time. Mm-hmm. So that was really exciting.
And both of them. And we loved Jen. Yeah. So we were thrilled that she was in this again. Yeah, it was a second movie with her. Mm-hmm. But we can tell you... one of the things, because we're talking about it, but we are actually writing another movie for Jen and Ryan.
It's
not a sequel to Harvest Love, and we can't say what it is, but we're really excited about it.
Well, that's really, really exciting.
On your podcast. Yes,
I'm very excited about that because they were really good together, really fun. We kind of laughed on the podcast about it was the sexiest pear picking we've ever seen in a movie. It's very, very funny. and then A Dash of Love, which it was one of our favorites. I think it was Amber was I made both of our favorites list that year for non-Christmas Hallmark movies, and it was my number one for the year, actually, for 2017. And I just thought it was great. I loved the chemistry between Brendan and Jen, and I loved all of the sort of food elements, and I don't know, I just thought it was really romantic and really well done. And if you were foodies, consider yourself foodies.
Not really foodies, but that's what the internet's for. it was because that script was a rewrite, and it was
kind of similar. They came in and took an idea and just kind of changed it up and wrote a new script.
Uh-huh.
Right. That was also a quick rewrite, which It was one of those times where all the elements just fell into place, and we could tell as we were writing it that, to us anyway, it felt like it was going to be a special one. And, the basic premise was still about a young woman chef who was trying to get it, you know, break in, and she got her recipe stolen by the other chef, you know, the Perry Gilpin character. We kind of took that concept and refashioned it, I guess.
Yeah, because they did a good job with the sort of, for lack of a better word, sort of the food porn in that movie, like showing all the cooking and the, and it was pretty well done. I really love when Jen takes a bite of that food and she just kind of in her mouth, like, this is terrible and I don't want to spit it out.
Right.
It's like, oh, this is cassoulet, huh? I don't know. It was really funny. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. And I thought, I don't know, I really felt like it was well done. I felt like it had really strong characters and I thought they had really good chemistry, and particularly just her character of just doing, I could relate to her just doing anything to try to achieve her dream. Like, she will file papers, she will, she will work nights, she will just do anything. And I thought that, and then the disappointment when it turns out that she's been stealing her recipes. How did you come up? Do you just Google like things like putting peanut butter in the chili and stuff like that?
I think
we made up the candy in the chili.
Yeah, the peppermint. We just kind of, I think just from, I have a, yeah, I'm not a foodie, but just slight knowledge of cooking and, you know, just recipes that I've seen at various restaurants, like the blueberry pork chops. I've had that at a restaurant.
ice cream cone chicken. Remember that?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, some of it was also some of these recipes were the first writer. He had some stuff in there too that we kept.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's really cool. All right. Then you guys had Summer Love. So was this a rewrite or a original?
That was a rewrite.
Okay. Because this was a little bit different. You have Rachel Lee Cook plays this widow who's going back to school. She's, you know, a little bit older than the other students. And then she ends up becoming in this internship. And it must be kind of challenging to write that kind of a story these days with Me Too and everything like that. Like writing a workplace romance, it's got to be a little tricky.
Yes, and, you know, I guess fortunately that was before the whole Me Too thing, because, frankly, I don't know that we would have gotten away with what we did in that, you know.
Dating the boss,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, we did feel that it was a little iffy at the time, because we do have a line or two in there where the boss is asking her out, and we say something like, well, but you're my boss, it's not really appropriate.
Right. But, so like, it does happen. Like, people do fall in love at work, but it's it's tricky.
It is tricky. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know if we'd go there today if we had to write that.
That was, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That's true. 2016. But but I like it. I think it's an interesting – I feel like she has sort of more – I don't know, more – she's a very grounded character.
Yeah, I would say she's got more gravitas. And we thought that Rachel and Lucas Bryant, we thought they were really good together too. We really liked their chemistry.
Yeah, I agree. And usually you don't have like such an extended love triangle in these Hallmark movies. Like usually it'll be just like at the very beginning, she'll have some, you know, boyfriend or fiance or whatever, and then you won't see them again for a long time. And kind of thing, but in this case, it was more of a, like, through the whole movie, basically, they were both there.
Uh-huh.
And manage them, so that was a little bit different, I think, too.
Yeah, it was fun to write, kind of that triangle, and the two guys were friends, and kind of, you know, fighting over the same girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't see that very often.
No.
Yeah, no, you don't. It was good. It was very good. And so then, the very first one you guys did, Love on the Sidelines.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of look at this movie as sort of a battle of the sexes. You have the really sort of alpha male guy who sees the world one way, and then you have a sort of pretty feminine girl who sees the world one way, come into contact. They don't understand each other's worlds. And so I don't know, I looked at it as not really War of the Roses kind of thing, but in that sort of vein of like these two sort of like a battle of the sexes kind of story. Was that what you were going for? Or?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was the first script that we sold to Hallmark. And it was originally a feature film that we had written for an actress. And we ended up getting the script back full ownership and got it to Beth Grossbart, who took it into Hallmark, and Hallmark loved it. And we did a rewrite before it went into production. And then we've been working with Beth.
She's our producer.
Yeah, on several projects. Yeah, so that's how that started.
That's cool. And we did an episode on Hallmark Kisses, and we talked about that one as one of the best Hallmark Kisses. Was that fun to write, that whole scene?
Yes, and it's so funny because we just had a discussion about with Beth about kisses in movies, and we kept saying like, but the best one was, you know, we always refer back to Love on the Sidelines with Emily and John. Both kisses we thought were just great.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell her we need more kisses, not less. More.
Yes.
Because it really makes the movies better when they have an earlier kiss and it's not just the last 30 seconds, because then they have to, it just amps up tension between the two and they actually have to kind of deal with it. And I think it almost always makes the movie better. If there's an earlier kiss. Yeah.
Yes, so. We agree.
Good. Good. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, great. So your upcoming film, this is, we're very excited about, All Summer Long. So this is based on a book. Is that right?
Yes.
So how is that when you're adapting versus original? How's that process different?
You know, it's not all that different from, it is different from an original because we're working, the story and the premise is already there. Uh-huh. But in that particular case, when we were asked to do it, we were given the book, and I think it was right after we finished Dash of Love. And the book, you know, it's about a dinner cruise, a vintage yacht that's being renovated for a dinner cruise in San Francisco Bay. And the lead character, the female, was the chef, and the love interest was the boat captain. And we had just done Chefs, and we thought, you know what, we want to do something different. Could we switch it? And we made the woman the boat captain and the guy the chef.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So that was like one of the major changes we did in the book. And then, I mean, we took the premise of the book, and then you make it into a Hallmark movie.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's a lot we couldn't use. And we met the author, Melody Carlson, recently, and she was okay with it. She was very happy with what we had done, and she's a lovely person, and we had a great time with her.
Yeah, we were all three on set together.
Oh, nice. You got to be on set for this one?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
That's good. So she's a lawyer and a captain of a ship?
Well, she grew up loving sailing. She started sailing when she was a kid. She's from a naval family. She works for her father. They're maritime law. And she gets the opportunity. It's her uncle and aunt who are renovating this boat. And she gets the opportunity and she wants a change. And it's her dream. It's her passion to be, you know, to sail. And so you'll have to see how it works out.
Oh, well, we're very excited about it. And yeah, it sounded they get kind of, it sounded like from the summary that they get kind of, and maybe this is too spoilery, but they get kind of not shipwrecked, but like stalled, and they have to turn back or something like that.
Yeah. Setback. Yeah. You know, when they first launched.
Yeah.
And also a little heads up is the director is Peter DeLuise.
Yeah.
Who is also one of the co-stars. He and his wife play
the uncle and aunt.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. That's cool. Yeah, he's a legend. That must have excited you.
It was very exciting. I mean, we were thrilled when we heard he was going to direct. And then when, you know, Beth Grossbart again is the producer, she said, Peter and Anne Marie want to be in it. We were like, are you kidding? That was so cool.
That's really, really cool. And you must have been thrilled to have Brennan and Autumn in the leads.
Definitely.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Because they, even if, I think for both of them, even if the movie isn't my favorite, like, they are always good in the movie. And they have, I imagine they'll have pretty good chemistry, the two of them. I feel like Autumn Reeser could have chemistry with anybody.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And yes, they do have great chemistry in this movie. It's a lot of fun. And they both told us how much fun they had shooting it, too. So, and you can see that when you see the movie. It really shows.
That's cool. Was it filmed in Vancouver or?
It was some was in Vancouver, but it was on an island north of, like, we went through Horseshoe Bay.
Gold Coast.
Yeah, the Gold Coast. And
Gibson's,
which is where it's famous for a Canadian show called The Beachcomber that was shot, I guess, many years ago. And it's gorgeous. It is just beautiful up there.
Were you able to be on set for any of your other movies?
We were for Love on the Sidelines.
Oh, fun.
And some of the other ones, we were just too busy. Right.
Yeah. That's really cool. Well, we're very excited about it. And
we're good.
It's
a lovely movie. I mean, it's really pretty and they're great together. And we're all really happy with it.
That's good. Yeah. We're really excited for it. So do you have any other upcoming projects you want to reveal coming up or anything fun?
Well, we're writing another movie for Jesse Metcalf as well.
Ooh, okay. You can't tell when. Yeah.
It's not a Christmas movie. It might be Winterfest, but we're not sure yet. But it's a really good comedy. Again, it's the movie, it's like he's the lead. There obviously is a love interest, but it's mostly, you know, his point of view, the way that Christmas Next Door was.
Oh, cool. Good.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited for that then too. So what we like to do, we like to end our interviews with what we call the team beat questions. And you guys
have
a combined answer, or you can each give your own answers. They're just kind of silly, fun little questions. So first question, what is the best ice cream flavor?
Chocolate mint or mint chip. What's your
thing? Some sort of vanilla.
Yeah, she's a vanilla.
good. Yeah. Well, you can mix. You can make any toppings when you have vanilla, so that's always good. Okay. What is your favorite color?
Oh, mine's yellow, green.
Oh, very on brand. Green. That's very good. Mark. Okay. What music are you into right now?
Well, I love rock and roll. So, I mean, I just came last weekend. I went to a concert to see Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats.
Oh, I haven't heard of them.
I know. So it's kind of a, you know, good roots rock and roll.
Uh-huh.
Classic rock.
Cool.
And jazz. I love jazz.
Oh, good. Yeah. I like, there's a jazz, channel on here in Utah, and I love how they'll have somebody that's like just the tuba and that's their like whole thing, you know, and they can make it, and as opposed to like listening to other kind of classical music, let's say, and they'll just be super intense on drums or on tuba, or makes it kind of fun to listen to.
It does. When we were writing Christmas Next Door, we kept looking for just violin pieces that would be good for her character. You know, other instruments. So, yeah.
That's true. I forgot about that. Okay. What is your go-to date night food if you're going out?
Ooh.
Well, mine's any kind of pasta, but not the noodles, because you can
splash yourself too much with them.
I agree.
You know, it can get messy. So, you know, the penne or something.
Yeah, agreed. And nothing with too much garlic, because that would be bad.
Right, well, exactly.
That's for sure, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Did you have one? Both agree?
A good steak and a glass of red wine for me.
That sounds good. Okay, what's your go-to date night activity to go out and do?
You know, honestly, for me, it's just kind of talking, and whether it's over dinner, over drinks, walking, just getting to know each other. To me, it's not about, you know, having to go to a show or a concert or anything. To me, I'd rather much spend the time getting to know someone.
Yeah, especially if it's a good date. If it's a bad date, then maybe you want to have something to do.
Right. Absolutely right, sir.
Great. Then we have dogs or cats?
Both, actually. Had both our whole lives.
Nice. Okay, good. All right, beaches or mountains?
Oh, mountains.
I like beaches.
Yeah, you do.
Very good. I love the beach so much, any kind of beach. All right, would you rather be in a fancy dress or in sweats?
Oh, sweats. No question.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay, good. What is your favorite holiday to celebrate?
Thanksgiving for me.
Mm-hmm. Me, it's Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel it all burned out about Christmas after thinking about and writing about it?
No, I'm one of those people that starts decorating around October.
Oh, good. That's good. all right. Well, this is really hard, and you guys can pick one of your own. We understand. But last question is, what is your favorite Hallmark movie?
Oh, that is a hard one. Favorite Hallmark movie. You know, I have to say, because we were fans of Hallmark before we started writing for them.
Uh-huh.
And some of the early ones, like, there was a wonderful Hallmark movie that has just stuck with me for years. It was Steven Weber, and he played a vet, and it was about a dog. Remember, Sandy?
Duke. That one is a good one. That's a really good one.
It was a great one. Mm-hmm. So that one, a lot of the older ones, but a lot of the current ones, I'm trying to think. I really liked All of My Heart. I thought that was
Yeah, that one is a really good one. And
there's so many. I just can't choose.
Yeah, it is hard.
I mean, yeah. I guess my favorite, I guess, of ours is maybe Love on the Sidelines.
Yeah, because there's...
Next Door. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Very good. You passed the test. And we'll let you keep writing Hallmark movies.
Oh, thanks. We hope to be writing them for a long time.
Yes, we hope you are too, because we love your movies, and you've had a great track record. I think it makes me very excited when I see your name on Summer All Along. I was like, oh, and I even said in the preview, I was like, if you're listening, please come on the podcast. So we're very, very excited to get to talk to you. And I know all the Hallmarkies will love hearing about your process and everything and your upcoming projects. It's so exciting. So thanks so much for coming and talking with us. And we'll be great. Look forward to all summer long. And are both of you on social media or just Sandy?
Sandy. Yeah.
Okay. Well, how can people follow you then?
Well, I'm under Sandra Berg at Sandy Berg Writer.
Okay, great. We'll put that in the description section, and so make sure you're following her. And yeah, let us know what you think if you're listening, what you think of what we talked about, of any of these movies. What are some of your favorite parts? We'd love to hear your thoughts. And thanks again so much for coming and talking with us. We really appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah. And we'll have to talk again soon, maybe after we see that Jesse Metcalf project and the Ryan Peavy project.
Okay.
That'll be very
exciting. Right. Oh, yeah, of course.
All right. Well, thanks again. And yeah, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by Hallmarkies for Hallmarkies. For more information about how you can leave your mark on Hallmarkies, visit hallmarkiespodcast.com, link in the description.